This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وأطهر المرسلين شفيع المذنبين وحبيب رب العالمين محمد صلوات ربي وسلامه عليه وعلى آله وصحبه الطيبين الطاهرين. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونستهديه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأن محمدا صلوات ربي وسلامه عليه عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. In the name of Allah, the compassionate, the most merciful, all praise is due to Allah. We bear witness that no one is worthy of worship but Allah, and we bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is indeed his final messenger. The best of speech is the book of Allah. The best of guidance is the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us amongst those who listen to the best of speech, the book of Allah, and follow its commandments. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us amongst those who come to know the best of ways, the way of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and make us amongst his followers. Allahumma ameen, Allahumma ameen, Allahumma ameen. Ya ahbaba rasulillahi salawatu rabbi wa salamuhu alayhi, arqa anwa'u al-haya, majtama'at fihi al-harakatu wal-hissu wal-fikru. The highest form of life is the combination of mobility, sensation and perception, and thought. لو نقص أي واحد من هذه الثلاثة حياة موجودة لكنها ليست راقية. And if any of these three combinations is missing, there may be life, but it is not a full life. We enjoy life to its fullest when there is mobility, ability to move, when there is sensation, perception, call it feelings, and when we have the ability to think. لذلك قالوا قديما في مسألة الحس قالوا قديما لو تشعر بالألم فأنت حي وإذا كنت تشعر بآلام الآخرين فأنت إنسان. That's why they say, if you can feel pain, it is indicative that you are alive. But if you feel the pain of others, then you are truly a human being. Perception, sensation, our ability to feel. Then the Quran speaks about a kind of life, but it's as good as being dead. يقول ربنا جل وعلا أو من كان ميتا فأحييناه وجعلنا له نورا يمشي به في الناس كمن مثله في الظلمات ليس بخارج منها كذلك زين للكافرين ما كانوا يعملون. The Quran gives this parable about people who have a life, but it is as good as being dead. Allah said, is it conceivable that one who's being dead, and then we revived them, we gave them life, and we granted them light through which they are able to meander their way amongst people, are they like those who are still living in the depth of darknesses, unable to get out of it or unwilling to get out of it? And seemingly good has been made the behavior of those who deny the truth in their own mind. See, the Quran is telling us about a man or a woman that was dead. They were not biologically, physically dead. Either they were spiritually dead or they were intellectually dead. فَأَحْيَيْنَاهُ Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revived them, gave them life. فَأَحْيَيْنَاهُ وَجَعَلْنَا لَهُ نُورًا يَمْشِي بِهِ فِي النَّاسِ And we granted them a light through which they were able to make their way through people. Every time I read this verse, one person comes to mind. May Allah bless his soul, Malcolm X. Malcolm X comes to mind every time I read this verse. Man kana maytan, one who was dead. He was dead. This man was dead. فأحييناه. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them spiritual life. وَجَعَلْنَا لَهُ نُورًا يَمْشِي بِهِ فِي النَّاسِ. And we granted him a light that he used to walk amongst people with. كَمَنْ مَثَلُهُ فِي الظُّلُمَاتِ. Is he like the one who is still, you know, trembling in the depth of darknesses? That was about 57 years ago. Malcolm X was assassinated. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless his soul, ya Rabbil Alameen. The man left so much impact. We're talking about him simply because this is the time that these things are coming up. It's also Black History Month. And every now and then, we want to seize the opportunity to address issues that are relevant to us. You know, in this, Sayyidina Umar al-Khattab, I believe he was looking at this verse, made a beautiful comment, and he said, sometimes people with the worst history have the potential to make the brightest of futures. People with the worst history have the potential to make the brightest of future. This is what this verse is telling us. كَانَ مَيْتًا فَأَحْيَيْنَاهُ. They were dead, morally dead, spiritually dead, all kinds, intellectually dead. فَأَحْيَيْنَاهُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about giving this person life. And as a result, جَعَلْنَا لَهُ نُورًا يَمْشِي بِهِ فِي النَّاسِ. Gave them an amber that they use, and a lantern that they use. They made their way through people. لطيفة جميلة في كتاب الله. قال وجعلنا له نورا يمشي به في الناس. ربنا ما قال وجعلنا له نورا يمشي به بين الناس. قل في بين ايش فرقت يعني؟ هذا في اللغة يسموه تناوب. الله كيف حالك؟ أقول أصبحت في نعمة من الله. أصبحت بنعمة من الله. تقول لواحد الله يرضى عليك، الله يرضى عنك. أصبحت بنعمة، أصبحت في نعمة، ما فرقت. الله يرضى عليك، الله يرضى عنك، ما فرقت. هذه ما فرقت عندي وعندك، في كتاب الله تفرق. قال جعلنا له نورا يمشي به في الناس. لو قال بين الناس بس هو المستفيد. قال في الناس أبصر وأبصر. There's a beautiful play with prepositions here in Arabic. The Quran says that we gave this person نور, we gave them light. They use that light not just for themselves to walk and make their way, but the light that they used, they were able to see, and they gave others the ability to see as well. It was not just about me, myself, and I. It was light that was given to them, and through them, it was also given to other people as well. All of this impact that we see Malcolm X has done, he did it in 11 months and 13 days. You know, Malcolm X, alayhi rahmatullah, Al-Hajj Malik al-Shabazz, may Allah bless his soul, he went to Hajj and he only lived for 11 months and 13 days after the Hajj. Out of the 11 months and 13 days, 6 months of that time, he was outside of the US, visiting different parts in Africa, staying in Mecca, and then going to Egypt, and then to Ghana, and then to Sudan, and just visiting. And then 6 months later, he comes back, and the man is changed, but then he also changed other people. Let me tell you what he said. This is the letter that he sent to his family. And I quote, he says, never have I witnessed such sincere hospitality, an overwhelming spirit of true brotherhood, as is practiced by people of all colors and races here in this ancient holy land, the home of Ibrahim, Muhammad, and all other prophets of the Holy Scripture. For the past week, I have been utterly speechless and spellbound by the graciousness I see displayed all around me by people of all colors. You've got to remember, this is happening back in the 1960s. When there is segregation, this is for whites, this is for blacks, you can sit here, you can drink from this, you cannot go to this school, you cannot be on this side of town. And for him, He's talking about what he's being seen for the past week. Then he goes on to say, I have been blessed to visit the holy city of Mecca. I have made my 7 circuits around the Kaaba, led by a young mutawwif named Muhammad. I drank water from the well of Zamzam. I ran 7 times back and forth between the hills of mountain Al-Safa and Al-Marwa. I have prayed in the ancient city of Mina, and I have prayed on the Mount of Arafat. There were tens of thousands of pilgrims from all over the world. They were of all colors, from blue-eyed blondes to black-skinned Africans. But we were all participating in the same ritual, displaying a spirit of unity and brotherhood that my experiences in America had led me to believe never could exist between the white and the non-white. My experiences in America had led me to never believe, fathom, that this can happen between the whites and the non-whites. America needs to understand Islam, because this is the one religion that erases from its society the race problem. Throughout my travels in the Muslim world, I have met, talked, and even eaten with people who in America would have been considered white, but the white attitude was removed from their minds by the religion of Islam. I have never before seen sincere and true brotherhood practiced by all colors together, irrespective of their color. Then he says, you may be shocked by these words coming from me. Wallahi, we are. Because prior to this, Malcolm X was the spokesman of the Nation of Islam. He was preaching all around that, contrary to the white belief, you know, they say that there is something about when people are fighting oppressor, when people are fighting their oppressor, they have a tendency to copy their oppressor by just doing the opposite of it. What does that mean? See, if you're preaching that God is white, now as oppressed you get up and you say, no, God is black. Santa Claus is white? No, that's nonsense, man. Santa Claus is white, is black. So what you're doing is that you're really copying your enemy. There is nothing good about this. So he's telling us, he said, look, he was teaching and preaching that black is inherently good, that white is inherently evil, in reaction to what was happening back then. And by no means this is an excuse or justification. We're just trying to understand why he is telling us that people may be shocked by him saying these words. You may be shocked by these words coming from me, but on this pilgrimage, what I have seen and experienced has forced me to rearrange much of my thought patterns previously held, and to toss aside some of my previous conclusions. This was not too difficult for me. I love it. Pay attention to what he's about to say next. Despite my firm convictions, I have always been a man who tries to face facts and to accept the reality of life as new experience and new knowledge and false it. I have always kept an open mind, which is necessary to the flexibility that must go hand in hand with every form of intelligent search for truth. He said, yeah, I had convictions, but when I found out the truth, what I did is I gave up my convictions. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَجَعَلْنَا لَهُ نُورًا يَمْشِي بِهِ فِي النَّاسِ. And we have made, granted this person nur, light. يَمْشِي بِهِ فِي النَّاسِ. The term nur in the Quran is mentioned in 49 different places. 49 different places the Quran speaks about nur. It's always in the singular form. And then the Quran also speaks about dhulumat, many darknesses. But there is something interesting about light and darkness. If we turn off all the lights in this place, in this hall, it'll be very dark. But the minute you turn on the lights, the darkness goes away. And the question that we have is, where does the darkness go? Literally, like physically, where does the darkness go? See, what happens is darkness has no base. Darkness only exists because of the absence of light. Because once light comes, it has no base, it vanishes. So this man, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Allah has given him nur. Once that nur came in, he said, all my previous convictions, he said, I was ready to give up. Despite of all, of everything and however it is that I spoke. He said, I have always kept an open mind, which is necessary to the flexibility that must go hand in hand with every form of intelligent search for truth. A believer is a lover of truth. I think I told you before that the term haqq, truth, appears in the Quran in 256 places. A believer is always looking for truth. There is something in psychology, in socio-psychology, that they refer to as, dissonance, cognitive dissonance. And that is what happens to people when they find out that the convictions that they have held is actually no longer true. This term was coined back in 1951. And it was a group of people, they were called the Seekers. The Seekers believed that on December 24th, I think it was, there was going to be an out-of-earth saucers, that they were going to pick up the believers, and that the believers are going to be saved, and everybody else is going to drown. Two journalists decided that we want to check out who these Seekers are. They joined them, they pretended to be part of the Seekers, and they just played along. They just wanted to see the end of it. These people were so convinced, they quit their jobs, they sold their property. Some even divorced their unbelieving spouses. Divorced husband, divorced this, let go of the children. And they said that at 12:01 on the 24th of November, December, whatever the day was, the saucers are going to land, they were going to get in, they're going to be saved, everybody else is going to drown. And these two journalists are sitting there with them. It's 11:50 p.m. And they're all sitting and everybody's just packed and they're all waiting for the saucers. It's 12:01. No saucer showed up. It's 12:10. Everybody's very tense right now. It's 12:50. No saucer is showing up. It's 1 a.m. And then it's 2 a.m. and everybody's very anxious. And it's 3 a.m. and it's 4 a.m. and it's 6 a.m. the next day and no saucer showed up. Now you would expect the Seekers to say, oops, my bad, we were wrong. And say, you know what? Something is not right. But then when you are faced with cognitive dissonance, now there is clear evidence that your previously held beliefs are no longer valid. What are you going to do about it? A good man that is not full of pride, they would give up their previous convictions like Al-Hajj Malik al-Shabazz did. Give it up because I was wrong. Despite the fact that I was publicly preaching this for the past 10 years, in this 7 weeks, changed my mind completely. Now I'm a different person. What I was telling you was wrong. Because I was seeking the truth. When I found it, I did. So what did the Seekers do? They said, we were not wrong. They were really wrong. No, you guys don't get it. See, we were not wrong. Because of what we did, we saved everybody else. What happened? Cognitive dissonance. You don't want to give up. You don't want to give up the previously held truth, even though every evidence is pointing out that you were wrong. He goes on to say, during the past 11 days here in the Muslim world, I have eaten from the same plate, drunk from the same glass, and slept in the same bed or on the same rug while praying to the same God with fellow Muslims, whose eyes were the bluest of blue, whose hair was the blondest of blonde, and whose skin was the whitest of white. And in the words and actions and in the deeds of the white Muslims, I felt the same sincerity that I felt among the black African Muslims of Nigeria, Sudan, and Ghana. We were truly all the same, brothers, because their belief in one God had removed the white from their minds, the white from their behavior, and the white from their attitude. I could see from this that perhaps if white Americans could accept the oneness of God, then perhaps too they could accept in reality the oneness of man and cease to measure and hinder and harm others in terms of their differences in colors. You know, subhanAllah, this man comes. Let me just give you an idea of what Malcolm is talking about here. Malcolm alayhi rahmatullah believed that there is nothing good can come out of white America. So much so that he tells the story that one time a young woman came to him and she was so enthusiastic about the civil rights and the civil liberties, and she came in with so much conviction and she asked Malcolm and she said, "What can I do to help your people?" And Malcolm looked her dead in the eye and he said, "Nothing. You can do anything for us." He comes back and he says, "No, man, everybody is redeemable. Everybody is redeemable, including the white racists in America. They are also redeemable. What does it take?" He said, "Well, if we all acknowledge the same one God, then maybe perhaps we can also acknowledge our same humanity as well." What I love about this story is, you know that saying, if what you believe in does not impact how you behave, then what you believe in is not important. Some of us go to Hajj. We leave here, we are racist. We go to Hajj, we come back, and we're still racist. And they say, "Man, Hajj was good, man. I saw people from Asia, from Nigeria, from Turkey, from that part of the world. I saw the whites and the..." Yeah, but see, you went racist, you came back, and you're still racist. Some of us leave here sexist. We go there and say, how was Hajj, man? Safa and Marwa, it just killed my feet, man. Going between Safa and Marwa, man, it was the most difficult part of Hajj. The most difficult part of Hajj was us commemorating what a woman did. You leave here sexist, you come back, and you're still sexist, and you say, "Man, Hajj was great. Hajj was great, but the outcome in you was not great." What happened? If what you believe in does not impact how you behave, then what you believe in is not important. You can be eloquent all you want. And let me just say, for the sake of transparency, Islam is not racist, but many Muslims are. Many Muslims, potentially amongst us, are racist. Pay attention to the way that you speak about people. Pay attention to the way that you speak about African Americans. Despite the fact that you make your money by a store that you own in the midst in poor black neighborhoods, yet you speak so ill of them. Despite the fact that you be the one selling the liquor and the alcohol and the beer there, you make your money, your very good life out of them, yet you speak very ill of them. Wallahi, I'm not saying this because I am black. I'm saying this because this is sad. I have people who come to me and they say, "Sheikh, لا تزعل مني. أنا والله ما بحب أروح على منفس. هونيك العبيد كتار. اخص على دمك. والله اخص على دمك." They would be talking to me. I'm saying, "Sheikh, I really don't like going to South Memphis. A lot of abid there. Abid is the literal translation of the word nigger. لا تزعل مني. Don't be mad at me." So they want me to be understanding, but they themselves are not willing to be considerate. You have people coming in, "Sheikh, مصيبة يا شيخ. بنتي طلعت تعرف واحد عبد. We've got a catastrophe going on. What is it, brother? See, I just found out that my daughter has a boyfriend who's a nigger. I'm not sure where the musiba is. Is it the fact that she has a boyfriend or he's a nigger? I don't know. See, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying this so that we pay attention, man. Pay attention to the way that we talk. You want me to be understanding, but you don't want to be considerate. You want me to have an open mind, but you're not willing to have an open heart. We speak about them this way, and then, see, the problem is we tend to see them as they have been portrayed. And that is not fair. It's not Islamic, it's not ethical, it's not good. Especially being minorities, and that's not how you see other people. That's just unacceptable. You can speak all the good about Islam that you want, but what good is it if what we believe in does not impact how we behave? Then what we believe in is not important. دعوها فإنها منتنة. You know, prejudice said, leave that behind. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam said, man, leave that behind. فإنها منتنة. It stinks. When people speak like this, it stinks. It's really not good. So as we remember people like Malcolm X, you know, what I found to be so impressive about this person, may Allah bless his soul, Ya Rabbil Alameen. He comes back and he immediately as he spoke, he has an impact on 3 million people. Just immediately. The man, many African Americans would say, our struggle earned respect worldwide because of Malcolm X, Muhammad Ali. Both were Muslims. We can potentially, like Malcolm said, we can potentially be part of the solution. In fact, he is saying that we are ultimately the best solution. But right now, unfortunately, we are part of the problem. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase us in understanding, Ya Rabbal Alameen. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على رسوله المصطفى وعلى من بآثار اقتفى. So the Quran has these two examples. Somebody who was dead then became alive, and then he has this lantern that he's walking, but he is seeing now, and other people are seeing because of his light as well. And then the Quran said, كَمَنْ مَثَلُهُ فِي الظُّلُمَاتِ لَيْسَ بِخَارِجٍ مِّنْهَا. Is it conceivable that this person be like somebody else that lives in the depth of darknesses? And subhanAllah, there is an example for this. And it just happened to be that also today is the day, 1994, the 15th of Ramadan. Baruch Goldstein, a Jew from Brooklyn, New York, who happened to be a medical doctor, while people are praying Fajr in Hebron, Al-Haram Al-Ibrahimi, takes his rifle, goes there, kills 29 people, and injures 150 of the people praying there. May Allah bless their souls, Ya Rabbil Alameen. This is a person that is in Zulumat. عليه لعنة الله يا رب العن الدنيا وآخرة يا رب العالمين. They said that this is the person that is in dhulumat, depth of darknesses, motivated by hate, a sense of superiority. Everybody else is inferior. They are so inferior, they are only good when they are dead. That is what prejudice does. نبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لما عرف الكبر ايش يقول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم؟ بطر الحق وغمط الناس. He said literally arrogance is about the rejection of truth and the belittling of people. This was Malcolm X. He comes back and he goes, no, can never reject the truth and you can no longer belittle people. Baruch Goldstein, بطر الحق وغمط الناس. Rejection of truth and belittling of people. Belittling them so much that you feel justified in killing them. In the month of Ramadan, in the masjid while they are praying. May Allah destroy the likes of Baruch Goldstein. And may Allah give the life of the people like Malcolm X, Ya Rabbil Alameen. So to conclude, one thing I've learned about this is, do not underestimate and do not give up on people. The Quran is telling us this. Remember what Sayyidina Umar al-Khattab said? Sometimes the people who have the worst history potentially can make the brightest of the future. Malcolm X had the worst of history, but yet made the brightest of future. The worst of history can possibly our brother, our sister, our sons, our daughters. Please don't give up on them. Wallahi, please don't give up on them. Chances are Allah gives them life. Chances are Allah gives them nur. The nur is used then not just for them to see, but also for everybody else to see. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enlighten our hearts. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect our families. If any of us or our loved ones are going through difficult times, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ease our pain. If any of us or our loved ones are not feeling well, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us a speedy recovery. If any of us or our loved ones have lost the way, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bring us back to His way. اللهم يا ربي بلغنا رمضان اللهم يا ربي بلغنا رمضان وارزقنا فيه صالح الأعمال والأقوال ربنا اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وكفر عنا سيئاتنا وتوفنا مع الأبرار ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار عباد الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون فاذكروا الله يذكركم واشكروه على نعمه يزدكم ولذكر الله أكبر الله يعلم ما تصنعون وأقم الصلاة